RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian and foreign researchers share science at Indonesia Science Expo ISE 2017. Indonesian government committed to strengthen protection for consumers. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, will hold Indonesia Science Expo ISE on October 23 to 26, 2017 at Balai Kartini, Jakarta. Deputy of Technical Science Board, who is also a steering committee of ISE 2017. Handoko after media briefing about ISE 2017 at Media Center of LIPI, Jakarta on Monday, 9 of October, said ISE will be an event to meet industry businessmen with researchers, both from Indonesia and foreign countries. Handoko also said LIPI will also exhibit research outputs from ministers, state institution, universities, as well as industries.
Sehingga mereka pasti mengeluarkan publikasi yang terindeks global. Gitu ya.
Foreign researchers will definitely offer global research to public, which has been approved internationally. Their participation will boost our leverage conference. Recently, it has been successful. They mutually share how the development of recent science. There are a lot of scientific sharing. Meanwhile, acting chairman of LIPI, Bambang Subianto, explained that the Indonesia Science Expo ISE will facilitate industries or businessmen to use research output. He said there were less industries which use research output because it is not based on their need. Therefore, Bambang hoped the ISE 2017 researchers will know what are needed by industries. Based on research from McKinsey Global Institute in 2030, Indonesia will become the seventh biggest economic country in the world. By growing economy, Indonesia's consumer will increase drastically. Deputy of Economy Ministry of National Development Planning, Bappenas, Leonard Tampubulon, said Indonesian consumer understanding toward consumer protection agencies is still low. According to him, the government should present in the issue of consumer protection. At the discussion group of the strengthening of national consumer protection institution, which was held in Jakarta on Monday, October 9, he explained the government, in this case, the ministry and across sectors agencies, have issued a national strategy of consumer protection through Presidential Regulation No. 50/2017.
Dan fungsi Stranas PK di sini adalah sebagai pedoman bagi kementerian lembaga. The function of the National Strategy of Consumer Protection as a guideline for the ministry, institution, and local governments in planning, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation of consumer protection in accordance with their respective duties and authorities, and guidelines for business actors and the community in realizing an active protection of consumers.
Leonard Tampubolon moreover stated during 2017 until 2019, there are 9 sectors which become priority of consumer protection organization. The 9 sectors are, among others, medicine, foods and beverage, financial services, public service, housing or property, transportation, health services, telecommunication, double consumer goods and e-commerce. Leonard Tampubolon also said the 9 priorities are based on number of complaints and consumer conflict. An earthquake measuring 6.0 on the Richter scale jointly Mentawai Island district of West Sumatra province on Monday evening, October 9, Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysic Agency BMKG stated on Monday that the epicenter of the earthquake was located on 6.96 degrees on southern latitude and 96.11 degrees on eastern longitude, or 670 kilometers southwest of Mentawai Island at the depth of 10 kilometers head of BMKG of Padang Panjang. Rahmat Riono stated in Padang Panjang, the earthquake had no potential to cause the tsunami. Although it was a strong quake, the trembler did not reach Padang, the province's capital. Ambassador of Hungary to Indonesia, Judith Nemeth Patch, has offered to strengthen the educational cooperation with Indonesian province of Bali by providing scholarship to students from Bali who wish to continue their studies in Hungary. Ambassador Nemeth Patch sat in Denpasar, Bali on Monday, October 9th, after he met Bali Governor Imade Mangkupastika, that the scholarship will not only cover the tuition fees but also the living costs. Regarding the educational cooperation, the quota on the number of student exchange will be raised. He stated, without elaborating, in addition to educational cooperation, Hungary also wish to cooperate with Bali in the field of economy, agriculture and culture. In the meantime, Pastika hailed and appreciated the scholarship offer as a bid to improve the quality of Bali's human resources. The governor said that Bali does not have natural wealth like other regions. Bali only have culture, nature, and human resources. Thus, an increase in quality of human resources is very necessary. Bali appreciated all forms of scholarship provided by Hungary. Indonesian state-owned railway operator PT Kereta Api Indonesia, or KAI, plans to disburse loans to state-owned construction firm PT Adi Karya in November as part of the Light Rapid Transit LRT project financing. KAI Finance Director Didik Hartantyo said in Jakarta on Monday, October 9, that the disbursement of the loan depends on an invoice from Adi Karya. Deputy Finance Minister Mardiasmo added that the Transportation Ministry, KAI, and Adi Karya were still negotiating for the interest rates of the loans of the year. Mardiasmo also said that the government would issue government regulation or PP for the disbursement of the state capital injection PMN for the LRT project this month. PT KAI has so far raised 4 trillion rupiah in equity, which was sourced from the revised state budget and reallocation of funds from the Railway Operators Trans Sumatra Project. A number of banks, namely Bank Mandiri, Bank Negara Indonesia or BNI, Bank Central Asia, Malaysian Control, Bank CIMB, Niaga, and state-owned financing company PT Sarana Multi Infrastructure have committed themselves to provide syndicated loans for the project. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Financial Service Authority, OJK, has set out 10 key policies from optimizing information technology in overseeing industry players to non-bank financial sector and capital market reforms for the period 2017-2022. Chairman of the Board of Commissioners of the Financial Services Authority, Wimbo Santoso, said in a press statement received on Monday, October 9, that the authority has planned to make OJK an independent and credible institution for forming a sustainable financial services sector. In addition, the OJK should be able to protect consumers and society as well as facilitate the role of financial services sector in realizing the welfare of the people. The 10 main policies of OJK include developing the supervision of financial services sector, or SJK, based on information technology, followed by strengthening integrated arrangement, licensing, and monitoring of financial conglomerate. Furthermore, implementing the base prudential international standard with national interest, reforming the non-bank financial industry to realize a strong and competitive industry, conducting efficiency in the financial services industry, and revitalizing capital markets in supporting long-term development financing. In addition, optimizing the role of financial technology through its proper arrangement, permits, and supervision. The last item, Indonesia will not import corn from the US and Argentina in 2017. Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman noted after the launch of the Farmers' Court at Medang Layang village of Ciamis district, West Java, Monday, October 9, that in the first year Indonesia imported 3.6 million tons of corn, and last year Indonesia had imported 900,000 tons. This year, Indonesia corn import from the U.S. and Argentina are zero. Sulaiman said the administration of President Joko Widodo has been successful in ensuring synergy between cabinet ministers to coordinate to realize self-sufficiency in food. He added that Indonesia had demonstrated to the world that Indonesia does not import corn and rice anymore. In addition to imposing a floor price on the commodity, the government has made all-out effort to support farmers to increase production. He noted that in Central Java, corn was also planted along the dikes of paddy fields and in cemeteries such as those in North Sumatra and Jene Ponto. Minister Sulaiman expressed hope that such efforts would contribute to boosting the nation's economy and realizing food self-sufficiency. Indonesia has now witnessed an increase in the production of corn and onion. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesian and foreign researchers share science at Indonesia Science Expo 2017. Indonesian government committed to strengthen protection for consumers. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, Our commentary today entitled Bahasa Indonesia Towards International Language. The month on October for the Indonesian people is known as the Sanctity Month of Pancasila, also known as the Language Month. The determination of the Language Month in October refers to the Youth Pledge of 1928, one of which mentions Indonesia as the language of unity. For Indonesia, with a population of more than 250 million people, having unified language that everyone understands is very important. Many other countries are impressed with this, as not all countries, especially those made up of different ethnic and regional languages, have language that all citizens understand. Other nations have become easier to connect closer to Indonesia related to socio-cultural, political, and economic aspects. The fact that Indonesian language is used by more than 250 million speakers raises the discourse to make it as one of international languages. Related to this, Head of Language Development Agency at the Ministry of Education and Culture, Dadan Sunandar, said that currently Indonesian language has been touched in more than 45 countries around the world by about 250 institutions, both state and private sector. As for completing as a modern language, the Indonesian language has now been equipped with the Great Indonesian Dictionary, Grammar, Test Tool of Indonesian Language Proficiency. This test equipment has been standardized and it becomes the standard for foreign citizens to learn Indonesia, such as TOEFL and IELTS in English. Meanwhile, Professor Bethel Demhuser, teacher of Indonesian language and literature at the University of Bond, says that there are various conditions to become an international language. Take for example, the language should be used in international diplomacy and trade, contributing to the dissemination of science, having simplicity of sound system and easy to understand grammar, and having high civilization. More importantly, the language native speakers must have confidence and care for their own language. Since many centuries ago, geographically, Indonesia has been known to be very strategic and potential. To support Indonesian language to become an international language depends not only on the rule of Indonesian people, but also the rule of the government. Take, for example, each state official must actively use Indonesian language in international forums whenever they deliver key speech before their foreign citizens. In addition, cooperation with the media such as television, radio, in the dissemination of proper use of Indonesian language is very important. This means that Indonesian language can be increasingly loved by the entire population of Indonesia and the speakers of the Indonesian language. With the ability to speak Indonesian, every speaker of Indonesian language is able to communicate with more than 300 ethnics or tribes and more than 250 dialects in Indonesia. In addition, they can also communicate with over 300 million people scattering across ASEAN member countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei Darussalam, Thailand, and some parts of the Philippines, as well as some cities in Australia. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information, as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state in the past as recorded in history. So let's start with October the 10, 1964, the opening of the Tokyo Olympics. The 18th Summer Games held in 1964 in Tokyo, Japan, inaugurated by Emperor Hirohito on October the 10, 1964, is the first Olympic Games to be broadcast live on satellite. The number of athletes was 5,140 people from 93 countries. They competed in 163 events from 19 sports. The top 5 medalists are the Soviet Union, winning the most with 96 medals, followed by the United States, then Japan, Germany, and Italy. Turning now to October the 10, 1970, Fiji won its independence. The Republic of the Fiji Islands is an island nation in the southern Pacific Ocean and east of Vanuatu. Fiji was discovered by Dutch explorer Abel Tasman as he attempted to discover the Great South Continent in 1643. But it was not until the 19th century that the Europeans arrived on this archipelago to settle there permanently. The archipelago became a colony of Great Britain in 1874. In the 1970s, Fiji gained its independence. The democratic government was disrupted by two military coups in 1987 due to concern that the government would then be dominated by the Indo-Fijian, who are of Indian descendants, community. As a result of the second coup in 1987, the British monarchy was abolished. The Governor General was replaced by a non-executive president, and the country's old name changed from Dominion Fiji to the Fijian Republic, then changed again to the Republic of the Fiji Islands in 1997. Let's end with the October the 10, 2013, Minamata Convention on Mercury is signed. The Minamata Convention on Mercury is an international pact designed to protect human health and the environment from emissions and release of mercury. And mercury compounds have been known to have harmful effects on humans and other organisms. Public health crises caused by mercury poisoning, such as Minamata disease and Niigata Minamata disease, have brought this problem to the surface. On January 19, 2013, negotiation resulted in 147 governments approving the draft text of the convention. The convention was adopted and opened for signature on October the 10, 2013 in Kumamoto, Japan, preceded by a preliminary meeting on October the 7th and 8th, 2013. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus, entitled Vice President Yusuf Kala Meets Indonesian in Belgium. Vice President Yusuf Kala and his wife, Mufidah Yusuf Kala, met with some 200 Indonesians living in Belgium and Luxembourg at Wisma Indonesia in Brussels on Sunday night. During the meeting, Vice President Kala was accompanied by officials from various ministries related to Indonesia's Europhalia festivals in Brussels. First Secretary of the Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, Anco Mailani, said, "The Vice President's presence in Belgium was primarily to open Europhalia Indonesia Festival along with the Belgian King, Philippe, at Centre of Fine Arts Brussels on October 10. In his speech, Indonesian Ambassador to Belgium, Yuri Tamrin, introduced Indonesian people in Belgium, who are generally professionals, medical experts, students, and entrepreneurs. In the meantime, during the gathering, Vice President Yusuf Kala expressed his gratitude for the warm welcome given to him. He said that Belgium is an important partner country for Indonesia in various fields, including trade, investment, and social culture. He explained that Indonesia was invited as this year's Europhalia guest country by the Belgian government. This shows the importance of relations between the two countries. The Vice President said that Indonesian cultural art featured on Europhalia is not only traditional, but also a contemporary one. It is hoped that with the Europhalia Indonesia, Belgian and European communities can better understand the diverse Indonesian culture, reflected in the life of tolerance and democracy in Indonesia. In addition to opening the Europhilia, Vice President also said that the purpose of his visit in Belgium was to attend business meetings between Indonesian business people and Belgian entrepreneurs in a bid to improve economic cooperation. On that occasion, the Vice President also discussed various matters, including the development of the situation in Indonesia. Vice President Yusuf Kalla invites all Indonesian people in Belgium and Luxembourg to keep promoting the image of Indonesia wherever they are. Moreover, Europhilia Festival is the biggest cultural art performances in Europe, held every 2 years in Belgium and its neighboring countries. For 2017, Indonesia has been selected as a guest country. In the festival, more than 200 cultural performances will be performed, including art exhibitions, dance, and music performances, literature, and film. Europhilia Festival is taking place from October 10 to January next year. Listener, that was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, will hold Indonesia Science Expo on October 23 to 26, 2017 at Balai Kartini, Jakarta. Based on research from Make and Say Global Institute in 2030, Indonesia will become the seventh biggest economic country in the world. An earthquake measuring 6.0 on the Richter scale jolted Mentawai Island district of West Sumatra province on Monday evening. Ambassador of Hungary to Indonesia, Judith Nemeth-Patch, has offered to strengthen the educational cooperation with Indonesian province of Bali by providing scholarship to students from Bali who wish to continue their studies in Hungary. Indonesian state-owned railway operator PT Kereta Api Indonesia plans to disburse loans to state-owned construction firm PT Adikarya in November as part of the Light Rapid Transit project financing. The Financial Service Authority, or OJK, has set out 10 key policies from optimizing information technology in overseeing industry players to non-bank financial sector and capital market reforms for the period 2017 to 2022. And the last item, Indonesia will not import corn from the US and Argentina in 2017. Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman noted after the launch of the farmers' cart at Medang Layang village in Ciamis district, West Java, on Monday, October 9, that in the first year Indonesia imported 3.6 million tons of corn and last year Indonesia had imported 900,000 tons. And that was the news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Jepara Regency. Stay tuned. Listener, Jepara is one of the regencies in Central Java province. The regency is well known for its furniture carvings. The beauty of the carving is well known all over the archipelago, even to the world. Traveling to the regency, it is not complete if you are not visit the carving center in Jepara and to see the beauty of Jepara furniture carving. One of the carving centers you can visit in Petekayan Tourism Village. Access to Petekayan Village is easy to reach. From the city of Jepara, you just drive to Kedung Subdistrict, or you can pass through Pecangaan Subdistrict. Traveling from Jepara can be reached about 15 minutes by land transportation. Listener, Petekayan Village has been confirmed as a tourism village and being recommendation of tourists who want to learn carving. In 2000, the village of Petekayan included a backward village. The establishment of a carved tourism village cannot be separated from the ability of utilizing the poverty reduction program in 2000. Then in 2005, the village got the National Program for Independent Community Empowerment. In 2015, the village is included in the top 8 community-based environmental management program. The village is then selected to be one of tourist villages with carved branding. The ability to carve furniture has been existed since hereditary. No wonder almost every house in the village sell furniture. Carving furniture of Petekayan Village are already sold to various regions in Indonesia in the form of finished or semi-finished products. Listener, coming to Petekayan Tourism Village, you will be greeted with the words Desa Wisata Kampung Sembada Ukir or Tourism Village of Kampung Sembada Ukir at the entrance gate. If you go around the village, you can see more closely various kinds of homemade products furniture. Most of furniture products are household furniture. The price is not too expensive, depending on the size and the difficulty of the carved motifs. In addition to the exhibition of wood products, you can see how the women in Jepara skillfully carve wooden motifs. Interestingly, carving craftsmen in this village is dominated by women. Most of craftsmen are housewives. Women in the village of Petekayan are skillful in making carvings on teak or mahogany wood. In this village, you can learn to carve in the carving centers in the village. Do not worry to not having the opportunity to learn carving, because in Petekayan Village, almost 90% of its people have furniture businesses. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Tourism Village of Kampung Sembada Ukir. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is di kedai kopi, or in English, at the coffee shop. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Kedai kopi. Kedai kopi. In English, coffee shop. Nonton film. Nonton film. To watch a movie or film. Kemana? Kemana? Where to? Di sana. Di sana. There. Minum, minum, to drink. Kopi, kopi, cafe. Ngobrol, ngobrol, to talk or to chat. Ide, ide, idea. Sudah lama, it's been a while. Segelas, segelas, a glass. Kopi latte, latte cafe. Kopi hitam, black coffee. Ukuran kecil, small size. Ukuran sedang, medium size. Ukuran besar, big size. Ukuran extra besar, extra big size. Next is a conversation on di kedai kopi, or in English, at the coffee shop. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Rita at the movie. Setelah selesai nonton film, kita mau kemana? Setelah selesai nonton film, kita mau kemana? In English, after watching the movie, where are we going? Bagaimana kalau kita ke kedai kopi? Bagaimana kalau kita ke kedai kopi? How about going to the coffee shop? Di sana kita bisa minum kopi sambil ngobrol. Di sana kita bisa minum kopi sambil ngobrol. We can have coffee and talk there. Ide yang bagus. Ide yang bagus. That's a good idea. Sudah lama kita tidak ngobrol dari hati ke hati. Sudah lama kita tidak ngobrol dari hati ke hati. It's been a while since we had a heart-to-heart talk. Di kedai kopi. Di kedai kopi. At the coffee shop. Kamu mau minum kopi apa? Kamu mau minum kopi apa? What kind of coffee do you drink? Saya mau kopi latte. Saya mau kopi latte. I'd like some coffee latte. Saya mau kopi hitam. Saya mau kopi hitam. I want black coffee. Kamu mau gelas ukuran kecil, sedang, besar, atau ekstra besar? Kamu mau gelas ukuran kecil, sedang, besar, atau ekstra besar? Do you want a small, medium, large, or extra large glass? Saya mau segelas kopi ukuran sedang saja. Saya mau segelas kopi ukuran sedang saja. I just want a medium glass of coffee. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Thank you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi. Until we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Dangdut songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Gerimis Melanda Hati by Eri Suzan. Happy listening.
Cinta, walau tak bersama, sepenuh hati padamu, ku cinta dengan jiwa, tak ingin jauh darimu, rindu takkan terkira.
You've just listened the song entitled Grimis Melanda Hati by Eri Susan. The song dedicated by a dangdut singer Eri Susan and was released in May 2016. The song takes the theme of romantic love and tells the story of someone who does not want to be apart from the lover, though he believes mate has been set. Composed by Adibal Sahrul, the song Grimis Melanda Hati was arranged with a mellow musical instrument in accordance with the lyrics. The music of the song is romantic acoustic. This song is quite well received by dangdut music lovers in the country. The song even received the Best Song Award of the Best Dangdut Award in 2016. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Senandung Rindu by Eri Susan.
Ku nyanyikan lagu Senandung Rindu. Terima kasih.
Listener, the song Senandung Rindu, which you've just listened, released in 2015. Ari Suzanne composed the song with quite simple lyrics and notations that is very easy to understand, so anyone can immediately understand the lyrics. The song is made into different versions, namely conventional dangdut and koplo, and is packed nicely with pop genre by Priki, a dangdut music arranger who has been pretty much awarded in some prestigious events for his achievement as a stylist music. Combined with touching of cello and violin by Henry Lamiri, the song increasingly nice to listen. The lyrics, theme, purity of love. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Muara Kasih Bunda and Hujan by Ari Suzanne. Enjoy the songs and see you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bunda, engkaulah muara kasih dan
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.